We together come together right now to hear a message from God's Word. As we prepare to dig into this message, it is a wonderful day that we have called Connection Sunday. And it may sound strange because it's new. And it's something we hope to plan to do again and again to encourage you. And that is my whole intent today, is to encourage you, building off of what George preached last Sunday in that parable. Parable. Because he hasn't realized this or not, but he just really teed me up for the swing. And so it is just wonderful how God works that out, especially where we went this last Wednesday as a family of families, as we journeyed into 1 Corinthians 12 and talked about the body of Christ and how we are a part of this wonderful body, how he has brought us together as family to be his family. Because as Ephesians 2:10 shows us, we have a wonderful and great purpose in this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Each and every one of us part of his body, as we studied, once again, this past Wednesday from 1 Corinthians 12, which verses 12 through 14 says, "For just as one body, just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many." And then as he says in verse 27, we, all of us together, are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And we all play a part, because God doesn't call an individual. He calls forth a community for his mission here on earth to reconcile all things here on earth as it will be in heaven, ushering the whole of creation to that new and better Eden. And each and every one of us play a part in this great effort, this great work, this great mission that God has given us. We were made for this, created, born again in Christ Jesus for this very reason. So as Paul would say in Ephesians 4, 15 through 16, that rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You may think, who am I? What am I to do? You may be like Moses and at the burning bush, like, oh God, send someone else. You don't know who you're talking to. I can't do this. But like we spoke of on Vision Sunday many weeks ago, remember, it's not about who we are. God takes the mess of a crushed orange that we are and turns it into something beautiful. He can bring orange juice out of our bruises and our crushing. It is not our ability that gets us there, but it is the capability of God and how he will use whatever it is he has given us to use, whatever it is that's in your hand. Which is exactly what has been happening. God using his people throughout time. God using each and every one of us with what is in our hand to bring him glory, praise, and to build up and grow the body of Christ into Christ. And I want to brag about you for a little bit. And I often do when I'm to and fro places. I am so blessed to say that the Church of God of Exeter is my home, and that I'm part of this wonderful family of families brought together on 246 West Chestnut Street to be his ambassadors, his emissaries, his missionaries right here in Exeter and beyond, because this is our mission, to be ambassadors of our great Lord Jesus Christ. And to fulfill that great commission that we have summarized as our mission as a family of families, to know Christ and to make him known. A mission we all have a place and part in. No matter how it would seem in terms of impact, it has a great impact. No matter what part, no matter what role you play, it's needed, for the body needs to be whole. It doesn't matter what our place or function is, much like we talked about Wednesday night, and I've often said, it doesn't matter if you feel like you're a pinky toe. So how worth or value do you have as a pinky toe? Let me tell you, we looked that up. The pinky toe is essential for balance, and it's essential for you to be able to walk properly and not cause excess damage to your knees and your hips and your back. The pinky toe matters greatly. In fact, I have a friend who lacks a pinky toe, and he struggles. He has struggled for a long time, and he finally got something that kind of helped balance out his foot and the weight distribution that needs to be there. But the point is, without a pinky toe, we even suffer. Just like without a heart, we really suffer. The point is, every part of the body matters. God didn't bring forth one person, but a community, a family of families, to know him more and to make him known all the more, which is what we are doing, using what God has placed into our hands. And there's something very unique about it. And there's something that it blows my mind, because it's not normal here than it is other places around the Western world, which is a word or term used to describe Europe and North American areas, the church in those regions, because many of you, most of you, are engaged in some manner or some way in this greater mission that God has given us, his church, his family of families, as we all have played a purpose and a role. Some of you, I don't even think, realizes that you are playing a purpose and a role for God's greater purpose and kingdom. And if I haven't called that out yet and told you, I apologize. Because so many of you have been part of what we call mission. Has anyone ever heard of the Pareto Principle? This is why this is unique. George has. Anyone else hear of the Pareto Principle? The Pareto Principle. The Pareto Principle is known as the 80-20 rule. It is the idea that 80% of results come from 20% of causes, which is generous, if you ask me, when we talk about Western Christianity, especially with statistics that we've seen throughout the past 20 years from the Barna Group, Pew Research, and Lifeway Research. The past couple of centuries, they've shown that it's not necessarily 80-20, it's more like 90-10. Sometimes they'll even say 95-5. And I am overjoyed to say that that principle does not apply to us here. Because as I look around this room, as I look through and ask, what are we all doing? What is everybody actively engaged in? I see that it's not 20% of us doing 80% of the load, but it's a lot more of us doing a lot more of that load. The principle is a lot more flipped than what you would normally see. And I want to commend you and encourage you in this. And I know that some of you do a lot, and you may be getting tired. Know that the race is still on. And it's time for us to lean in all the more, because God is doing an amazing work in and through us as a family of families. It's time for us to not let up, but to keep driving forward to the breakthrough of God's kingdom here in Exeter and beyond, as it is in heaven, by continuing to know Christ and make him known using what's in our hand, being the forerunners of the transformation in our city through the gospel of Jesus Christ, one disciple at a time, which is something that many of you have been doing. Many of you have been doing this. In fact, some of you have dared to dream. You've dared to do something different. In fact, there's two ladies that decided, we want to use our gifts and talents and start a sewing ministry to make things for Operation Christmas Child and bless children all around the world. And you gathered with you so many other people who had that same passion. And boy, we've had these sewing days. We had two or three of them last year, and there's already three planned in March, April, and May. And you can see more on that back table near the OCC display on how you can take part. You can be a part of it. The materials are provided. All we need is your sewing machine and you. And it is a great way we can bless others. There are some who have decided to start home groups. There are some who have decided to just do an art class and to teach people new life skills, as well as to encourage them and teach them about the gospel. So many things have been started up. There's so many more, and I can't even name them all, and I'm sure to miss some, which is why I don't want to name them all, because I will miss some. But you are doing great things. Understanding why you're doing it, and it's for the glory of God. And that's why it's great, is you're not doing it for your own vain glory, but you're doing it to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ, using what God has placed into your hand. And I'm sure there's more dreams out there. Like, if finances weren't an issue, if manpower wasn't an issue, what is it that God would have you do? Understanding that if God's calling you, He will take care of all of the issues and needs as long as you're willing to be used. Being used by the living God for the sake of others and His glory. As Paul reminds us in Philippians 2, 3 through 8, that how we are supposed to live, to do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than ourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because, as Jesus makes clear on that wonderful yet dreadful night, with his disciples not knowing what was going to come 3 days later, in John 13, 12 through 17, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garment, and he resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done for you, to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do, just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Jesus making clear of his purpose that he proclaims in Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." A calling that he has given and bestowed upon us that we see from Paul in Ephesians 5, 1 through 2. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, living a cruciformed life." Living our lives with the cross in mind, understanding, as we just read in Philippians, we do not do this for our own good, but for God and His glory and the good of others and for the kingdom of God. Just like Jesus, keeping the cross and the sacrifice that Jesus made in mind, embracing that life of selfless service, of sacrifice for others, in which the cross doesn't simply teach us that, you know, Christ died for us. He shows us how we are to die for others and how we are to truly live. The major problem that we see in the church by and large is apathy in purpose. Apathy in so many things, but definitely in purpose and understanding of our role and mission. Each person within the body of Christ is part of his mission, part of his body. They are part of being the hands and feet of Jesus. Because every one of us has been born again to a living hope that has purpose. Not just for someday on eternal shores, but for here, today, for now. However, in a culture, in a world that treats faith and church as a consumeristic commodity, we have popular phrases like, I'm just not getting fed. I'm getting nothing out of being a part of that. It is part of the prevailing narrative of a culture that we all feel that we must attend First Church of WIME. That is the First Church of what's in it for me. Have we ever stopped to wonder if maybe it's not about us, but it's all about others? It's all about Jesus. It's not about consuming, rather it's about giving of ourselves for others and for Jesus and for those around us. Understanding our calling in Christ has not changed. And knowing no servant is greater than his master, we are to do what he did all the more. Understanding he came to serve and not be served as a living example for us to do also. As our serving in the church is a vital expression of our faith and our commitment to the body of Christ. It is an opportunity for us also to use our gifts and talents that God has given us for the reasons God has given us. Furthermore, when living in this manner and engaging in acts of service for others, we embody the love and humility of Christ. And each time we extend a helping hand, we not only uplift those around us, but also draw closer to God ourselves, as we will be discussing more later in this year when we talk about the discipline, the holy habit, the faith practice of service. As when we embrace this calling, each and every one of us have, we not only contribute to the growth and health of others and ourselves, but the growth and health of the church. We also deepen our relationships with one another and God, remembering that true service is rooted in humility and love, reflecting the heart and the will of Christ, considering others more significant than ourselves, therefore giving ourselves over for the sake of others, not out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, counting others more significant than ourselves. I find it interesting how Paul says this, because to me, radical service requires exactly what he teaches us here in Philippians. He talks about not doing things out of selfish ambition and conceit. I'm sure he's referring to what he talked about first in Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. And the thing is, we've got to ask ourselves, which are we? Are we trying to gain something, or are we trying to further the kingdom? Are we trying to get something more from God than he's already given us? Or are we trying to work out our own selfish agendas? To operate in a spirit of selfish ambition, looking to advance one's own agenda, is just normal for us. It's normal in our culture. Such vainglory is exactly what we are taught to do and we're reared to do in a society that talks and teaches me, myself, and I, or yous and yours. It is counter to our culture to consider others more significant than ourselves. Paul realizes that everyone naturally looks out for their own interest. And the key is to take that same level of concern and apply it to the interests of others. Such radical love is rare. Boy, that is loving your neighbor as yourself. And there's someone that said something about how we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. That this was the second to the greatest commandment, like the greatest commandment, to love God. Would we walk in such radical love as many of you have been doing? Would we continue to walk with such radical love? Would we live as we have been called to live, to be emptied of ourselves for the sake of God and others, just like Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Understanding that this way of life, this uniqueness of his gifting of us with spiritual gifts, talents, passions, was given to us so that we could do just that. As 1 Peter 4:10 through 11 expresses, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied graces. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Bringing about wholeness and health in the family. That's what this does. Have you ever thought about it like that? Your service, your giving of yourself for the sake of Christ and others brings wholeness and health to the body of Christ. Serving in the way that Christ has fostered us to serve in community and belonging, it helps us when we're desperate for that community and belonging to find it. It helps others who are desperate for it to find it. Those who know that there's just more to life, it helps them find it. Helping them experience the triumphs that there is in being used by God and coming alongside them in support in those weak and horrible times, because we still live in a broken, sinful world. As Paul reminds us to do in Romans 12:15, to rejoice with those who rejoice, to weep with those who weep. To do this, you have to be in community. And to do this, you have to be willing to set aside your ambition for the sake of another. To rejoice with them when they rejoice and to weep with them when they weep. Just as we studied this last Wednesday from 1 Corinthians 12:26, where Paul says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Because isn't that how our bodies truly work? Have you ever had that injury? You know, I think we've all had that injury where you may have hurt your knee, but your hip, your back, your neck, everything else hurts with it. And then your knee recovers, but then you have a different injury. Have you ever taken the pill that gives you all these side effects that you have to end up taking another pill to counteract the side effects of the other pill? When one of us suffers, we all suffer. But when one of us celebrates, boy, don't we all celebrate. When we hear those praises, when we hear how God heals and God's moving and working in our prayers, we celebrate. Because that's how the body works. And when someone is struggling, we can come alongside them to encourage them, to support them, just like the church did when it was first birthed in Acts 2:45. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Knowing that if there was a need, they would look at themselves and say, how can we help provide? And them coming together as one, putting together all their pieces and bits, were able to support and care for one another, much like many of you sacrificially do each and every week when you hear of the needs that each other have. Giving and serving where needed and when needed, just like Jesus did. As we are doing this and do it with others, knowing we are not alone in this great endeavor, we understand that this is what God has called us to. This is the purpose to which God has given us. This is why we have been brought together by God for such a time as this. You were made for this. But you're not made to carry it alone, but we are made to carry it together. And we can be part of that greater picture, the greater body, and work in harmony alongside one another. We will experience the shared joy of purpose that's eternal in value. No longer living for today, but living in light of eternity, creating bonds and relationships that truly form an eternal family, supporting one another in both good and bad, and enriching all as we grow deeper into Jesus and come closer together to that new and better Eden. Many of you have been doing this, and I hope you find encouragement in that, as many will come and follow your example. Therefore, the major question for us today, this Connection Sunday, is will we continue? But also, how will we continue? Will we continue what God has started in us? Will we continue in our service to one another and the others around us? Will we continue to live that cruciform life, much like we have been taking steps each and every year? Reasons that I'm overwhelmed in the best of ways to say I'm the pastor of the Church of God of Exeter, that I get to be a part of this family of families that's truly showing that heart and love for the other, and I pray it would continue. A heart and love that we saw throughout 2024, which I have a short video to show all of you, all the work that you all did this past year.
Cast off the robes you're wearing, set aside the names that you've been given. May this place a rest in the fold of your journey. Bind you to hope. You will never walk alone.
In the shelter of each other. Has given us each other. We will never walk alone.
In the shelter.
Those were only the photos I could find on my phone. There was more than that. More that was done. More of us being a family, but a family with purpose, serving our community and beyond in the name of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, this is you, all of you, participating, being part, and living out the mission to know Christ and make Him known. And all of that is planned this year, and even more. And we so, as a family of families, want each and every one of us to be a part of that. And that is what today is all about, is looking at what's on the horizon and how it is that God is going to use each and every one of us with what's in our hands. That is what's this back counter and that back counter over there, the tables, are all about. And we encourage you to take some time to look at how it is that God could be calling you for the sake of His glory and for the sake of others to be used for His kingdom purposes and His will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Because there's a place for every one of you, for you are not here by mistake. But God has brought us together for a purpose, His mission, right here in Exeter and beyond. Maybe you've found that place, but you know there's something more. There's something more that's nagging at you. Today is for you to find out. Maybe you haven't found your place and you're struggling finding your place. Today is for you so you can find out. And if you still can't find out, come and talk with me. Talk with Pastor Danny. Talk with any of our staff team. We would love to help you find how it is God is calling you to be part of our body, part of the family of families, part of the greater body of Christ. Because it's not always something that you got to think, I got to do this really big and wondrous thing. Sometimes it's that small thing, like offering support to a friend in need, being willing to join a ministry of visitation, going around and visiting friends, as some of you do quite a bit, who need company. Maybe it's just providing two hands, volunteering and willing to just pick some things up and move them, which there's information about that. Maybe God has given you a gift of teaching, and there's an opportunity to start another home group. There's an opportunity to start another class so that we can grow one another up. We can be iron that sharpens iron. Maybe you are feeling like, gosh, I just need to know something more. I need to get more plugged in. I need to get more information, but I need to know more what it means to live that way of Jesus. Well, I know there's a couple of you that have been interested in starting a faith and Bible basics class, which we're hoping to start, and there's information about that back there. Maybe you want to learn about how Game Church bridges the gap between the gospel and the gamer, and you'd like to come on one of our trips. I don't think I need to keep saying it, but there's information back there about that, as well as our upcoming Lenten prayer room. There's information about that. Our Take 7 snacks. If you have a hankering for bacon, not bacon, baking. That I have a hankering for bacon. If someone brought bacon in for Take 7, you would be my best friend. Just saying. But maybe that's what you're being led into. That's how you are going to serve your family of families. There's information back there about that. Daring to do something different, maybe. Do something new. To be the forerunners of the transformation in our community through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be the forerunners of the transformation through the world, to the world through the gospel of Jesus Christ, as some of you have with the OCC Sewing Club. Living not for this world, but giving of your time, talent, and treasures for the sake of the world to come, which is where the true blessing is found. Something not done for our own glory, but in a manner of which Paul describes in Colossians 3, 23 through 24, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. And you know what I see with this? Nothing is a failure. As long as you're doing it for the sake of Jesus and his glory and honor, it's not ever a failure. The reward is there. Whenever the purpose behind our mission is him and his kingdom, to know him and to make him known, our heavenly reward is there because the Father sees it and is pleased, and therefore you are truly blessed, knowing that he has placed us together for a reason and a purpose, for just as a time as this, to come together as one and to serve his kingdom purposes here in Exeter and beyond. Stepping out of our comfort zone to help where there's need, that we can be that answered prayer for someone else. Therefore, let us continue what God has started. Find out how it is you can connect or connect more with the mission that God has given us, his family of families, knowing this is what we were made for. If you are wanting to do that, pray with me right now. My God, help me to dedicate my life more to serving you and your kingdom. I ask for your strength to no longer live for myself, but for others and for the sake of your glory. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Help me to recognize the gifts that you have given me and to use them properly. Strengthen my faith as I step out in service, trusting in your guidance and your provision. In the name of Jesus, amen.